This is an APR production. Always press record.
All right, so once again, y'all. So this is this week's edition of the weekly game, where you know, we don't really know what we're talking about, but we'll talk about it.
The unwise guys.
The unwise guys.
Just think, let that one marinate.
First 10 NBA. We're gonna break it down 5 and 5. It'll be Harden, and then a couple of the trades, the Anthony Davis potential landing spots, and KP for Zingon. And then
I'm
straight into Super Bowl.
Afraid to talk about Anthony Davis.
Porzingis trade, why? It's already a done deal, right?
Porzingis trade is supposedly a done deal.
Porzingis, no, there's no supposedly, it's done.
Anthony Davis thing, man, for me it's a long conversation because it involves Rich Paul and LeBron's agent, and how they're just trying to like force people to do their bidding, and I think it's getting out of hand.
Well, this is what I was saying, like, for quite a while now, like, the NBA is run by the players, and
right.
Like, that's why I appreciate the NFL a little more, because, like, as much as these guys bitch about, like, oh, well, we need guarantee, we need this, it's like, look, like, the only reason that y'all are getting paid what you are getting paid today is because of fucking Jerry Maguire. Like, if it wasn't for agents, you know, demanding this money, you know, there would just be normal $10 million salaries or whatever the fuck it is, not these half a billion, like 10 years for fucking Bryce Harper. But.
Right, but in this case, it's bizarre to me. I know we're going to back off and then get into it in a minute. It's bizarre to me because if New Orleans balks at this shit, they have them under team control for another 2 years and the rest of the season. So why, where there's no pressure on them to trade him to the Lakers. Let him wait till...
It's not 2 years. It's this year and next year.
No, yeah. It's not. He's under contract through the end of 2021, and then he's a free agent. So 21-22 season is the first time...
It's this year and next year.
I believe it's this year.
No,
look, next year is 20... Yeah, this is 19-20. We're 19-20.
No, we're not. We're in the middle of the 18-19 and an NBA season.
18-19.
Then 19-20... Then 2021. Then AD's a free agent. So let him go to LA when LeBron's entering his age 37 season if he wants to try to strong arm New Orleans. There's no pressure on them to trade him. I would love for them to push back, but they've already removed him from the intro video that they play before games. They're now supposedly shelving him indefinitely.
No,
they don't have to give us
that shit. I thought there was a reason that he was able to request a trade, and I didn't realize it was through 2021.
No, he got fined for requesting that trade.
Right, but I saw something about that on Twitter which said, hey, New Orleans, I want you to trade me. That AD, New Orleans, I want you to trade me. NBA, you're fined $50,000 for talking to the Lakers about, you know, a trade.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Davis is like, fine. And the NBA is like, okay, cool. Now continue to talk to the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's like, what did that fine even do?
Nothing.
No, man.
It did absolutely nothing. So let's not get too far.
Especially in terms of his $127 million contract. $50,000. It's a pocket change.
Absolutely.
And I did hear through the
He's under team control for over 2 years. So why would they?
So because this year, this summer, he's eligible to...
Well, let's just talk about it on... Let's get started.
All right, welcome to back to the weekly game. I'm your host, Davey. We got Turk and Drew over here.
Welcome.
We got a busy week, y'all. Man, it's such a big week. Super Bowl, so there's a lot to talk about there. But before we get to that, I think we want to touch up on the NBA. There's a whole lot of stuff going down right now. So why don't we just jump right into it? Fellas, being in Houston, I know this is kind of out there. Being in Houston, I just want to touch on James Harden real quick and what he did in the month of December. January.
Historic.
Absolutely historic. The only other player to even touch what he's done is Will Chamberlain. So anytime you can put yourself in that type of company, I feel like it needs to be respected, called out, honored. And I know the media has done a great job of doing that mostly, but what's your thought?
This is perfect. We talked about this before we started recording, and I wanted to save my position. I don't even know what he did, so I need you to tell me. And I think that I'm in the majority of people outside of Houston are very disinterested in whatever it is that James Harden's doing down here in Houston. So what is it that he did?
He averaged over 43 points a game.
For the entire calendar
month.
Averaged 43 points a game for the calendar month.
He's also on a historic 23-game streak of scoring 30 points or more.
What was his shooting percentage in January? I'm sure it was not bad.
No, he is a high efficiency
Chris Paul is out, right?
Chris Paul is out, yeah. He's a very high-volume shooter. He's a high-volume shooter, but he's also an elite scorer. So it doesn't matter how many shots he's chucking up there. He's efficient in what he's doing.
What was the Rockets' record in the month of January?
We're going to have to look that up.
We can move on. Yeah, we need a stat boy. We're auditioning.
We're auditioning for a stat boy.
I think we've called that out in a couple episodes now, so don't even send a resume to show up.
Somebody from Ohio actually told me, I almost texted you after the first episode.
To be stat boy?
He listened to it, he's like, I almost texted you, and I told you I was going to be a stat boy.
Look, don't feel shy, please. You're more than welcome if you want to look stuff up for us. We need it.
So, real quick, we got a historic month here. He averaged 43.6 points per game.
Crazy.
And carried Houston to an 8-6 record with multiple injuries on the team. So you're missing
Capella
missing CP3. Ennis was out for a while.
I'm going to look up something else. Keep going. Shooting percentage is probably not there.
And the reality is that's probably why he was able to do what he's done. And now that everybody's starting to slowly come back, I expect that to tamper down just a little bit. But to be perfectly honest, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he averages 30, 35 points a game.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to find his shooting percentage for the month. But, my beef is that people look for reasons to pick at. Like,
and look,
this is not of relevance, right?
I'm not
or
one
like
of those
why,
everybody hates Houston people.
No,
but I do feel like I
with
do
the
feel like
All-Star game voting.
By and large, people don't pull for Harden.
Well, I can tell you right now
they
that
they had Derrick Rose ahead of James Harden.
That's
so
ridiculous.
I mean, the public is not a fan of James Harden.
Rose wasn't last, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. My next angle as a non-believer in James Harden was to look at who they played in the calendar month of January. And it's a mixed bag. It's not a great or a bad schedule. You got Warriors, Trailblazers, Nuggets, Bucks. You also have Cavs and Magic and Nets. And, you got the Lakers in there, but you got the 76ers.
Say what you want about
so
the
they
Nets.
Had a,
the
they
Nets
had a,
are two or three games behind Toronto right
they
now.
They had a middle of the road or above schedule.
Next,
so I think
Nets
I'm out
are down
of,
by one currently to the Spurs.
I think I'm out of things to criticize about it. It's impressive.
We've actually had this discussion on the Nets.
So the Nets took us to overtime and beat us at the buzzer.
The Nets are not terrible.
No, the Nets are very good. And even down in man, they're
a piece away. They got a lot of great role players.
All right, so because for a variety of reasons, the landscape of the NBA is such that Harden can do something like this and be under the radar. So this is good that we talked about this because there may be people not in the Houston area that are watching this. I bet there's one of you, hi, whoever you are. And that is probably something you need to know about because I live in Houston and I didn't know about it. So let's...
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of people in Houston know what he's doing, but I think beyond that, I feel like... I think what you said in one of our first episodes as far as the national people think he's just kind of a weirdo. I mean, I think that's got some validity, right?
He's
a strange cat. You look at his Taco Bell commercials. They just came on the other day. Dude, he's a weird dude.
That Foot Locker commercial where he sings, I mean,
oh,
it's just weird.
Man, that's even weirder.
But check it out.
He came out balling defense after
my
that.
Opinion,
after that one.
My opinion about him being weird and aloof and strange was not about fans' perception. It was about players in the NBA maybe being hesitant to want to play with him. That's a different conversation. Let's talk about the two big news stories.
Absolutely.
Not named James Harden.
Not Rockets related. Trades, man. Trades.
We're going to get
trades
more
and
more
potential trades.
Leading up to the deadline.
So the other white meat today, which is Dallas, they went ahead and they pulled off a blockbuster. I mean, just the fact that the Knicks were willing to come off of a unicorn, just to me, just says buckets about their organization, the disarray that they're in, and how absolutely awful the Knicks are.
It also says something about the current state of the NBA. But let's talk about why you think that it was such a horribly awful move for the Knicks.
Kristaps Porzingis' game is a Euro big man game. So he can play big, he can play down low, but he can also step out. So he's a stretch center. He's a stretch power forward. But he's a stretch with ball skills and legitimate defense. And he can defend bigs and smalls. Kristaps is a unicorn.
So he's a Kevin Durant clone.
Absolutely. He's phenomenal, man. He's long and he's got ball skills. He can put the ball on the floor.
He's got balls.
Ball skills.
And we love people with ball skills.
So, what is your take on Porzingis? Is it different from Aaron's?
No, I do think that he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. In the NBA, it's unfortunate that he did miss this season with a knee injury.
Absolutely.
Last year. But he's rehabbing. He will be back next season, and it's going to be fun to watch him and Luka play.
Oh, it's going to be ridiculous.
And meanwhile, here's the Knicks' position. When we woke up this morning, the Knicks had Porzingis. The Knicks now are heading into a crucial summer in NBA free agency with two max slots and two first-round draft picks. I say that the Knicks are going to sleep in a considerably better position as a team that's poised to sign Kevin Durant plus that they weren't in when they woke up. So to me, based on the landscape of the NBA, it's very difficult. I mean, me better than most people that are probably listening to this as a Cavs fan understand, unless you've already got the makeup of a super team or the workings towards that, they're trying to manufacture that in New York where it didn't exist this morning when we all woke up. And now, with one good draft and two key signings this season, they could be well on their way. And I'll take Durant. If they just traded Porzingis and then they signed Durant in this offseason, then they traded Porzingis for Kevin Durant plus whoever they're about to sign. That's how I look at it. And to me, in the landscape of the NBA in 2019, I think it was the right move for the Knicks.
Okay, so first of all, that's a very big if when you talk about the Knicks getting Kevin Durant, number one. Okay? There is no guarantee where he's going to go, and I don't believe the Knicks are on anybody's shopping list for where they want to go in free agency. And you look at the last several seasons, probably the last decade of NBA free agency, when there have been people, the only person who's actually wanted to go there was Melo.
So let's talk about the Knicks starting five if they sign Durant and Kyrie.
I don't want to talk about if they sign.
The if is why they did this. So just picture for a minute.
You from Cleveland and me from Houston, I understand this. But what you need to understand is that just because you have cap money doesn't mean people are going to come play there. First of all, why would you want to go play in New York where you know the team has been mismanaged for the better part of two decades, where they can't keep players, right? Where they make these ridiculous, horribly trades all the time. Their organization has been disarrayed for so long that they haven't been able to attract anybody except who somebody I think we can all agree on is the head case.
When you have a 12-man roster, you can rebuild in 1 month in the NBA, unlike you can do in any other sport. Let me finish. What you're missing about the current landscape of the NBA is that it's considerably more likely that a kid is a fan of a player than it is that a kid is a fan of a team. All right?
Thank you, fantasy sports.
Yeah.
And social media and all of the access we have to everything all the time. Thank you, technology, which has bred fantasy sports and everything else. But I'm telling you right now, the New York market as an advertising market, meaning shoe deals and deals with local businesses and all that, that's money. That's cha-ching.
So, and
don't be surprised if the Knicks starting lineup next year is Dennis Smith Jr. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and they have two first-round draft picks in the upcoming NBA draft. Their own
also,
and the one they just acquired from Dallas. That's an instant rebuild.
But also, they traded for DeAndre Jordan.
That's an instant rebuild.
But DeAndre
Jordan, how long
DeAndre
is the other contract
Matthew for? Matthews come off the books at the end of this year.
Okay.
Come
so
off the
look,
books, or, as in?
They're free agents.
Free.
Yeah. So they're actually buyout candidates.
Not restricted.
So to get bought out this year and go sign with
I'm
the
surprised DeAndre's contract would be up that fast. He just...
So, look, I'm not positive
that's true. Look that up real quick.
So don't be surprised
we
if the Knicks don't get anybody, don't have anybody but their draft picks, and nobody wants to go play there. So
New York City.
Because when you have the choice to go to New York or go to L.A., right, both have equally marketability and all that other stuff that you talked about that New York has. They both have good cap space. But you know what one has that the other one doesn't? Magic Johnson, LeBron James. I mean, they got stuff out there.
Wait, don't even.
Here's the deal.
Hot button.
To go to New York, right? Means I'm going to pay fucked up taxes on my millions of dollars.
Magic Johnson and LeBron James are two negatives.
How can you say LA not positive? Eight straight finals. And when he's playing on the court this year, his team was fourth in the West. When he's out, they're ninth in the West. Dude, it only takes him to get you into the playoffs every year, or you can go to New York, pay those fucked up taxes, and not be in the sunshine, and not have a chance to go to the finals every year.
AB, you know whose opinion doesn't matter?
Whose?
In regards to why a guy would want to go to L.A.? Yours and mine and Drew's. You know whose opinion does matter? Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and the countless other people that have pretended to like LeBron and refused to play with him when the opportunity presented itself. There's something to be said for the fact that these guys don't want to play with LeBron James.
Kawhi didn't refuse. Kawhi was traded.
There's something to be said. That's fine.
Yeah, there's something to be said about Popovich being mad and trading you to Canada.
You think that multiple people have not exhibited to all of us now in the past few years that they don't want to play with LeBron James? You're telling me that that hasn't been the trend?
I'm telling you that he built a super team in Miami.
True.
Let us wrap that up. We're going to come back to that next week because there's something coming up this week that's
absolutely
yeah, there's something brewing in this conversation, though.
Significant.
Because you're talking from a Houston point of view. Houston ain't shit compared to New York City. And L.A. and every other city on the planet is secondary to fucking New York City, the Big Apple, the bright lights, the biggest city on the planet, dude. So just because their basketball team hasn't...
Tell me the splash that they've made that has mattered. The only significant move they've made in the last 20 years, right, is drafting Kristaps Porzingis.
And I'm telling you that all of that changes this offseason.
You're right.
Write it down, take
away.
A picture. I don't give a fuck. We're going to have a very different conversation about the New York Knicks next year.
All right,
let's definitely revisit this conversation.
Absolutely. Because you know what? If you're right, he's buying Sizzler. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. You know?
Well, if I'm wrong about the Knicks, I'm right about the Wizards, so it doesn't matter. We want to talk about Anthony Davis, but this is perfect because he hasn't moved.
He hasn't
so
moved.
So we can visit this next week
Absolutely.
And spend a long time on what I think is a destructive force in the NBA that needs to be dealt with. And it's time that some owner takes a stand against it. That's a teaser.
I agree.
We're not
going
to. The trade
deadline
is a week from today. So
more on that
that's
next
a teaser.
Week.
And
all right, so let's segue.
So
biggest game of the year. I'm excited. I don't know why I'm excited.
The NHL All-Star Game, baby.
Yeah. That was Saturday. If y'all missed it, it was
the miracle
entertainment at most.
Like ice. What?
That was this past Saturday, actually. It was.
I know. I thought we were going to recap. I thought that's what we were talking about here.
We will save that till.
Just wasted 23 seconds.
We'll save that till the end of the summer.
Bullshit.
All right,
go ahead.
All right, so let's get to the big game. Let's get to the Super Bowl, y'all. Trademark NFL. So let's talk about it from a couple perspectives, right? So first of all, let's talk about who you think is going, who you want to win. Number one. And then who do you think is going to win and why? Go.
So who I want to win is probably... I mean, for fuck's sake, they're both garbage teams that I can't stand with anything. But
well, they're not. Your adjectives, garbage. But go ahead.
No. I mean, go ask half the people in this country what they think about the Patriots, and they're probably sick of them.
It's not garbage.
Everyone, you know?
That's
fair enough.
So,
go on.
Yeah, no, they're both elite products on the field, and you know, we bow down. No, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and suck them dry. You know, like I'm sick of seeing them. It's over with. I get it. You've seen it once. You've seen it 1,000 times. Let's move on. All right. Let's get someone else. Like, where's Nancy Kerrigan when you need her? Right? Can she go back there and just fucking kick this guy in the ACL?
Tonya Harding.
Whichever one. I mean,
Nancy Kerrigan is about to play in the Super Bowl on both sides. You were looking to. What is Tonya Harding, Alex?
What is?
All right, so who do you want to win the Super Bowl?
What's the over-under?
I want, so who I want to win is probably the Patriots, but who I prefer to win and who I hope wins is the Rams.
Okay, let's try this again. Take two. Who do you want to win the Super Bowl?
The Rams.
Who do you believe is going to win the Super Bowl?
The Patriots.
Why?
What gives them the edge?
The edge is the fact that this is not their first Super Bowl, right? I mean, this is
Absolutely. That's just look
straight. What's the most obvious thing in the room, right?
They've been there before.
They've been there many times. Not just a couple of them, a lot of them. You know, this is a team that has been together for quite a while. You got Tommy TB12 and his favorite ice cream.
Avocado ice cream? No fat, no sweet?
So, I mean, what's not to like? You know?
And so I was on a podcast last night, and one of the guys that was on with us was saying at work, a lady had avocado ice cream, and it was good.
The only endearing quality about Tom Brady, by the way, is that he appears in a scene in Ted 2 where they want to jerk him off while he's sleeping for his sperm so that they can impregnate Ted's wife with super semen. Beyond that, Tom Brady can go get fucked. But why? So other than the experience, do you have any other reasons? That was a tangent. Oh, Ted 2.
That was great.
Ted
2
is dope, dude.
Ted
2 is funny as fuck.
That was great.
It's at least as funny as Ted 1.
You're right. That almost didn't.
By the way, it's not called Ted 1. It's just called Ted.
It's called Ted.
But
I can't.
Anything else besides
the
experience?
Like I'm telling you, the props are what I'm interested in. We'll get to that in here in just a bit.
All right.
The game itself is just dog shit, in my opinion. It's prefabricated. It's fucking WWE.
Strong take.
So
the NFL is WWE. High five on that, big time. Just verbal high five.
All right.
I'm gonna turn this thing on its head real quick and be the host.
Yeah.
And ask you these questions because I feel like my take. I'm
go
sorry.
Last.
I'm trying
to you
take
go last?
I feel like my take is gonna. I feel like my take is gonna. I'm gonna go last. I'm gonna be the Derrick Rose.
You're gonna be the Derrick Rose of this conversation. All right.
And I'm gonna.
So
the D Rose of the take.
Look.
That's gross.
And
awesome.
I want the Patriots to win. I genuinely want the Patriots to win. And it's not because I'm a Tom Brady fan.
Yes,
and it's not because I'm a Belichick fan. I just look, man, I think what they do, I think they are a model, right? And because of that, and because they've won some and lost some, I think the case is closed. I think the conversation is shut. I think Tom Brady's actually the best quarterback who's ever played in the game, right? And I think it's just the nail in the coffin, and I don't think it's going to be a conversation for a very long time. Just put it to bed.
And who's going to win?
Oh, the Patriots, okay. Right? And it's for more than just because they have Tom Brady. They have a running game, and their offensive line is fucking phenomenal, man. And I just don't feel like the Rams are going to be able to go out and punch them in the mouth and get those big plays down the field that really open up their offense. I think it's going to be a grind them out kind of game, and that game only favors Bill Belichick, always.
Grinders?
Yeah, he's superior. Right? Grinders. You're going to play a perfect game the entire game, and you're going to go through a stretch where you mess up 3 or 4 times, and then you're going to look up and they're up 21 points. Because that's what the Patriots do to you. It'll be a run right there at the end of the half, and then they're going to get the ball back, and then you're up 14 points, and what are you doing? Panicking.
I agree.
Nobody panic.
I agree.
Joe panic.
Trademark Drew Cohen. Everybody relax.
Everybody relax.
Just relax.
Everybody relax.
All right, so check it out.
Just relax.
My take involves a little bit of game theory that I think could spark a bit of additional conversation, which is why I requested to go last. I desperately want the LA Rams to win the Super Bowl. I am tired of it. Tired of them. They're not garbage. The Patriots, I would never refer to what they do and what they are as garbage.
Garbage.
But I'm fucking tired of it. And what I dislike most, in life, this is beyond sports, this transcends sports, is somebody that conducts themselves and presents themselves in one way when they're actually the other thing. If you're a shit person and you are just well marketed and finely tuned to make and want everyone to believe that you're a good person and you're actually a shit person, I think you're shit. I think you're worse than the person that's a shit and is true to that by a wide margin. And Tom Brady is a shit cunt, and he tries to conduct himself like a guy with character and class and sportsmanship. Let me finish. And he's not. It was just reaffirmed to me again the other day. And this isn't even my take yet about the game theory. Go Google the Instagram video that Tom Brady made leaving the locker room on the way to the bus with Rob Gronkowski. And he is the most arrogant, cocky little fucking prick that you could imagine. And meanwhile, his whole 40 minutes earlier on the sideline, he's like, you know, everyone doubted us, and I believed in us, and that's why we're so good, because we try harder than everybody else. He's a cocky fucking prick, and he wants you to believe that he's a hardworking, upstanding, good guy who kisses his son on the mouth.
Right.
Well, one of those things I just said is true, and it's weird. But the other thing that I said that's not true is that he's not a good guy. He's a fucking prick. He throws people under the bus, like the guy that he threw under the bus during Deflategate when it was his fault. Nobody does shit to those footballs without Tom Brady's consent.
Right.
And then he throws Lance Armstrong, his equipment manager, to deflect the blame from himself because he's a cocksucker, dude. That's who he really is. That's who Tom Brady really is. He's a shit person, and he wants the world to believe that he's a good guy, and I fucking see right through it. And I'm done with him, dude. I'm serious, man. Let me fucking tell you how I really feel about this.
I feel you.
And that's not even my take on this situation.
But that is a strong take on Tom Brady. I mean, and so I feel like it's a little personal in your attack. I understand.
Nothing personal against that guy.
No, look, I understand. I understand where you could see, where you could think someone's fake and not.
No, I said I know. That he is. I didn't say I think.
Right, right. Thank you.
So I can see how you know someone's fake, and but man, I don't really see it that way.
So
I don't really see the whole Deflategate thing the way you see it. I don't feel like they did anything wrong. I don't feel like him throwing anybody under the bus was throwing anyone under the bus, because I don't feel like they should have had to fucking defend themselves.
They definitely did something wrong, and they're habitual cheaters. And that's just the reality. You can ignore it or you can face it.
Look.
But check it out. All right? I'm in a position that a lot of people find themselves in. So the question is actually phrased incorrectly. Who do I want to win the Super Bowl is not the correct question. The majority of people that are interested in this game at all, the question for them is, who do you want to not win this football game?
Right.
And regardless of who was on the NFC side, that's who people want to win, because it's about who they don't want to win the game.
Want the Rams to win because they don't think they should be there.
But if you pulled,
you could probably chalk that up.
If you found a way to pull off the impossible, which was to pull everybody, you're going to find that the majority of people
just want
a team to not win the game for a variety of reasons.
Look,
I want the Rams to win now. Unless, like, there's something super that we want to add to my rant about Tom Brady, I think it's much more interesting why I think and convinced the Patriots are going to win.
All right. Why do you think?
And here's why.
Other than superior quarterback play and superior.
It's total game theory, and I talked about it twice today, once in a group text and once when I called into a radio station in Cleveland. So I've kind of fine-tuned this. So I'm
shout
ready.
Out.
I'm ready.
Cleveland
92.3 The Fan.
The Fan.
Cleveland. I called into Chico this evening, and I dropped this take on him, and I'm going to drop it on you guys right now.
All
right? The elite offenses in the NFL, I mean, we're talking about such a thin margin that separates the good teams from the great teams from the exceptional teams in the NFL.
Fair.
The thing that every exceptional, almost unbeatable offense in the NFL has in common is a pressure release valve. You can call it a ripcord. You can call it an out, like how many outs you have in a hand of poker. Every elite team in the NFL does not scheme better than everybody else. In those critical moments in a game, when the play breaks down, and it's a pun because the pressure mounts on the quarterback in the pocket,
right.
But the overall sense,
the, game.
The pressure of the yeah. game on a macro level intensifies, and the elite offenses have a pressure release valve that's a key cog in their offense. And the coolest thing, in my opinion, about this take, not to pat myself on the back too hard, is that they come in all different forms. The Ravens exhibited a very specific, unique type of pressure release valve near the end of the season, which was Lamar Jackson's running ability. When all else fails, Lamar Jackson can get yards with his feet. Mm-hmm. The pressure release valve that's existed for years for the Patriots has been Rob Gronkowski, a very different physical specimen than Lamar Jackson, but a very similar specimen in that he's a release valve. When everything else goes wrong, Tom Brady has Gronkowski, a physical anomaly on the football field. Lamar Jackson is that. Kareem Hunt was that in Kansas City, which is a very unique. This is
kind of so is Kelce, and kind of so is Tyreek Hill.
Now, check
they
it out.
Have three
check that. To me, they had very specifically two, and this is why if Kareem Hunt had never been ousted
for that video,
Kansas City would be favored in this Super Bowl right now by more than a touchdown, in my humble opinion, and for a variety of reasons people would say. But I'm telling you that they had two on either side of the field. They had a pressure release valve in a physical freak in Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt. Now, why the Patriots are so unique to everybody else in the league? Actually, let me back up really quick. A big part of my take is why the Rams lost the Super Bowl about 7 weeks ago when Cooper Kupp went down, because he was the pressure release valve for Jared Goff, and Jared Goff has fallen flat on his face more or less statistically from the moment that Cooper Kupp went down for the remainder of the season.
That was the downfall of our fantasy season.
So check it out.
But Kareem Hunt and Cooper Kupp.
In terms of game theory and in terms of scheming, because this pressure release valve this pressure release valve, it doesn't exist in the passing game and it doesn't exist in the running game. It lives in between those things, and regardless of whether schematically you're going to run the ball first or throw the ball first, your out is always going to be the same, right? Now, what makes the Patriots unique and why I'm convinced today more than I ever have been before that Josh McDaniels is the greatest offensive mind in the NFL right now. Everybody's talking about the new, young, shiny toy that is Sean McVay, and he's a genius. But Josh McDaniels, unlike any other coach in the NFL, the pressure release valve that I'm referring to, and I hate to keep using that term, is almost always a physical anomaly that can be exploited in a moment of need. Josh McDaniels has exhibited time and time again the ability to turn a non-physical specimen into that release valve. Sometimes it's Danny Amendola. He's not a physical specimen. It's been Danny Amendola. It's been Danny Woodhead. It's been Deion Lewis. It's been James White. It's been... who's the wide receiver right now that I'm forgetting?
Adam Edelman.
He has turned all of these non-physical specimens into that pressure release valve for Tom Brady, and schematically, they're unstoppable because of Josh McDaniels. I've heard arguments all week about, is it Brady? Is it Belichick? I believe that it's Josh McDaniels that team could not do without. And because of Josh McDaniels and the pressure release valve theory that I have, the Patriots, I mean, the Rams, they don't stand a chance in this football game. So I know that was another rant, and I'm going to sit back and I want
to
hear y'all.
I mean, I would like to kind of support your Josh McDaniels and the pressure release, right? You look at what he did with Tebow on that last play. That was a pressure release play.
Back in
the day? Yeah, that took them past Pittsburgh. He did it with Tim fucking.
Tebow is just another physical anomaly on the football field. That's it. That's all it takes. The right offensive minds know how to scheme that anomaly into a position when all else fails, a quarterback can go to that thing. I'm telling you, Kansas City I think Kansas City would crush anybody in this Super Bowl if they had been able to keep Kareem Hunt on their roster somehow. I don't think it would have.
Yeah, you
been
keep
a
Kareem Hunt on there, it's a completely different team. Almost unstoppable.
Well, then you look at what Mahomes did in the Pro Bowl. I mean, he took legitimate weapons all around him, and he made the NFC look stupid.
How many physical anomalies, if you want to, you know, use my turn of phrase to analyze a football team, Kansas City, it wasn't just Hunt and Tyreek Hill and Kelsey and Mahomes. So they had four physical anomalies on the field at any given moment. I mean, we're talking like...
See, I think you're really discrediting L.A. We're talking about physical anomalies, you know. You're saying like Cooper Kupp was their Achilles heel.
Isn't Sammy Watkins?
I find that really
You're missing.
Robert Woods came in. He's been a beast this year, a beast. He even stepped up even more once Cooper Kupp went down.
But so, is Robert Woods the guy?
Yeah, I mean, but ever since Cooper Kupp came in the league, he's been their possession receiver. I mean, we've rode.
Yeah, I know, but I still don't think
for
like,
a reason.
Look,
we're not even talking about why they've been successful since Cooper Kupp went down. Or really, it's not even – he hasn't even been there that long, right?
No,
the addition of C.J. Anderson has turned that team
– into a pounding ground.
They are a powerhouse.
The addition of Cooper Kupp to the L.A. offense at the beginning of the season skyrocketed that offensive scheme into the stratosphere, and everybody wants to talk about – Sean McVay this and Jared Goff.
But you're acting as though they don't have any passing options outside.
No,
of
you're
Cooper
not.
Kupp.
Then you didn't hear everything I just said.
No,
but
I heard.
What I'm saying is
Robert Woods is going to be their only option. So first of
all, what about Cooks?
Why do you think Bill Belichick discarded that dude?
What about Gurley?
He knows exactly how he's shutting that dude down. That
because
dude is
those,
a non-factor.
So those guys are centerpieces of
what Belichick does is he's notorious for this. It's not even a secret. He takes away your best.
Which
weapon,
is going
right?
to be Todd Gurley in the run game.
Who do you,
the run game
so,
will be shut down.
That's true.
Brandon Cooks will be a non-factor because he played there. He knows why he got rid of him, and that's what he's going to exploit. That's not even going to be a scheme. That's a given.
Don't
right?
get hung up on my use of physical in the anomaly category or as part of my description. Don't let that fool you. Cooper Kupp and Rob Gronkowski and Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt, these guys... To me, almost all of them are physically gifted, and they also have an innate ability to do the right thing on their own, to be in the right place. Lamar Jackson, to make the right decision in running the football. Look, the guys you're talking about, Todd Gurley, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, those are
C.J. Anderson.
Those are pieces of an actual scheme of an offense, and the guys I'm talking about are guys that are both operating within the scheme and there to bail the quarterback out when nothing goes right on any given play. So
but
we're talking about two different
like,
things. Who's going to bail Jared Goff out on Sunday when the play breaks down because Bill Belichick has outthought Sean McVay? Who's going to bail Jared Goff out? Who's going to physically be in the right place at the right time that Jared Goff can do something like barely passable and turn that into 12 yards that are desperately needed at that
They've
moment.
Done it all year. They have a better record than the Patriots. What do you
that they're a different offense since Cooper Kupp went down.
They are a different offense, but
they're
not
less
bad.
Explosive.
Because
no, but they are less explosive.
Because on
but part
on,
of that
I disagree with that as well.
For one week, maybe two weeks even.
The week that he went down, they I believe they won that game even though he went down. So but those 2 weeks after that, they weren't as explosive as they were before.
Let me clarify something to you about what I'm talking about. Very specifically what I'm talking about, and then I'll be done with it and we can move on. What I'm talking about matters not at all on about 18 of 20 plays. What I'm talking about very specifically matters on every ninth or tenth play, and it extends drives so that they can perform the function of the offense as it's been drawn up. What I'm talking about is that desperate need at a given moment in a football game that allows them to continue to scheme against the defense. I'm not talking about an overall game plan. I'm talking about the thing that occurs at the absolute desperate moment that allows the team to hold on to the football and continue to march down the field. You've got to have that. That's why offenses are elite versus offenses that are good, in my humble opinion.
They've got, would you say they've got an elite offense and defense in New England?
Schematically, they have for about a decade plus, yes.
No, not schematically.
But that's what...
Talent-wise.
It all matters. The question I'm asking is the talent. They have an elite offense.
It's not a matter of talent.
They have an elite offense.
They play team defense.
So I don't think they have an elite offense at all. It's far from it. I think that they have an elite quarterback.
Every offense functions differently, though. Every offense can be... You can be elite.
In previous years, they've had elite offenses there. Right? This is not one of their best years.
It's one of their best years running the ball in 15 years.
Running the ball, yeah. Sonny Michel stepped up big in the second half of the season. James White did well, you know, before Michel.
They both catch the ball out of the backfield too.
When it's mattered, they won a bunch of games this year in non-flashy fashion, and the offense has looked very elite in the postseason when it's mattered.
So
maybe they're turning it on and off.
I get it. LA has
rather than
they've never been there. They have to prove themselves. I get it. But I still think that there's not enough credit going to, you know, McVay, the Rams as an, you know,
offense and defense.
I do think that they have elite players. Look at what they did midseason on the defense. They hit up Jacksonville, right? They stole their best, well, one of their best defensive players, right? Because I do think that
go back. Let's go.
Who was it? Who did they steal?
Fowler? Dante Fowler?
I believe that's who it was.
Yeah, they traded for Fowler.
A little homework, and we can bring it back to this next week, maybe. Yeah. I contend that the Rams' offense was anything but elite after Cooper Kupp went down.
Okay.
That's my contention.
And I contend that they are so
I'm going to look at every game after Kupp went down. They are an offense that has been very good with elite players, but the offense overall... Production-wise, has
what
not
would
been
constitute
elite.
As elite? Like 30 points a game, or right?
So we're
production
at, we're
or scoring,
like
or
top,
yards per game.
Top third to quarter in the league in offensive. Because
you also have to look at
yards.
Who they were playing after he went down. Okay, and I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to get all of our bases covered here in regards to... All
right, well, how about
people
were
very
so
concerned
matter,
about...
It didn't matter who Kansas City played. They averaged about 30-something points.
Yeah, I mean, LA,
people,
the Rams
were,
played
were
the Chiefs, right? Didn't the Rams play the Chiefs?
You need to take a better look at the Rams.
Wasn't that the highest-scoring game of the season?
You need to take a better look at the Rams' offense. Jared Goff is downright...
We keep talking about the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are out of it. I prefer us
I
not
meant
to
say
bring
the Rams
up at all.
Jared Goff has had a very... pitiful
yeah,
stretch of football
the,
games.
What's the final score of that Rams Chiefs game this year?
When was that? Was Kupp still on the lineup?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yes, very.
It's one of the
very
highest scoring games of the year.
But I'm talking about the Rams offense since Kupp went down, not when they played the Chiefs, because I do believe it was after that.
So Rams Chiefs, the final, 54-51 Rams.
Oh, we all know. And everybody, that was the most exciting football game in the last 10 years.
I was just saying that a second ago. Okay?
I never discounted
that. This is an
that.
Elite team. This is an elite offense, okay? We want to say, okay, well, Kansas City was, you know, they could go up against anyone. Guess what? They went up against the Rams and lost.
Kareem Hunt was
that's after having,
hold on.
Let's see, oh, they were tied at half. That's right. Rams.
What week did
and Cooper Kupp was not in that game.
When did he go out?
Cooper Kupp was out of that game, and they put up 54 points on the Chiefs.
Hold on.
I'm here. I can tell you right now.
Yeah, I know. He was not in that game.
No, he was
so
not.
So was it the week before that he went down?
So, it's fine. You know,
We get this. Cooper Kupp got hurt in the game the week before that.
Look at this. Cooks, 8 receptions, 107 yards. Robert Woods, 4 receptions, 72 yards, a touchdown. Somebody that we haven't talked about at all that stepped in for Cooper Kupp, Josh Reynolds, 6 receptions, 80 yards, and a touchdown.
That's damning to my theory because every game after that, the Rams were pitiful on offense.
I got
to
be honest.
Every game after that.
They were an elite offense. They were
okay, so
the Rams?
All season.
Check it out.
The Rams? Yeah. No, I know they were.
They scored over 30 points.
They were an elite offense all season.
They lost 2 games, and those 2 games they didn't score well. That's really.
And who were those 2 games against?
They had a 19-point game. One of them against the Ravens.
One was against the Denver Broncos, I think.
Dirty. Hold on.
Those are both.
That was early in the season. Look, they scored.
We're talking about the 2 losses. Those are elite. Some of the best defenses in the league.
Okay, so the week after the
Patriots.
This is the stretch I was referring to. The week after that Chiefs game against the Lions, Jared Goff was 17-33.
Yeah, that was a terrible game.
The week after that. Against
what
the Bears, he was 20-44. I'm talking about just the offense fell pretty flat after Kupp.
But
my theory doesn't hold up.
But then look at when they add Anderson. Hold on, time out. So then look at when they add Anderson.
Yeah,
they didn't have Anderson when they played Detroit. They didn't have Anderson after the game.
The Rams' offense isn't just what Jared Goff does. Todd Gurley is the fucking league-leading.
The best running back in the league.
Man.
Wait. Jared Goff, the third week after the Chiefs game, Jared Goff was 35-53 with no touchdowns and a pick, and Gurley only had 48 yards. And they lost that game.
To
the Eagles.
To the Eagles. So that was
okay.
The game that they lost. Okay.
Wait, they lost to the Bears the week before that?
Another elite defense? So
and
the Patriots are not an elite defense. If you put them up against the Bears, they lost. That's an elite defense.
The Ravens.
The Ravens, elite defense.
Look, again,
I'm not saying the Eagles are an elite defense, but we saw they won the Super Bowl with that defense.
The week after that, they beat the Cardinals, but Goff was very human. Yet
again,
Goff
turned
very human.
I don't care about Kupp. When did they add Anderson? That's what we need to know. They added Anderson like 2-3 weeks before the end of the season.
Weeks after that Kansas City game, which is the game where Kupp went down.
Because there was suspicion something was wrong with Gurley. Like, oh, is Gurley hurt?
Right.
You know? Because he only played like a few snaps, the game before they added C.J. Anderson, I believe. So that's all the speculation.
I still believe that the offense is considerably less dangerous since Kupp went down. We will find out.
No, I would agree with that. They lost a weapon that was their possession receiver.
But for some reason, I'm fighting that Chiefs game.
Has a better defense? The New Orleans Saints or the New England Patriots?
That's a good question.
Again, if you got to be talking about overall production, not just talent and not just scheme, but everything put in the blender and mixed up, I think that the Patriots have a better defense.
Yeah, no, I think that New Orleans, it depends on when we're looking, right? So the second half of the year, New Orleans definitely. They were the best defense left in the playoffs once Chicago and Baltimore got bounced. The best defense in the playoffs was the New Orleans Saints, and they're gone now.
Yeah.
LA's liability is, in my opinion, is their defense.
Defense.
They have great defensive players.
They've got some key.
They've got great defensive players, but they give up points.
You look at what the Chiefs did to... What the Patriots did to the Chiefs defensively and what they did to those outside rushers, right? They were using the running backs to chip them, or they were using the tight ends to chip, right? So when you look at the way the Rams attack, right, from the inside with Aaron Donald and Donovan Sue, it's a completely different thing. You're not going to be able to chip with those same players,
right?
How they scheme against that interior rush is going to be – that's going to be the key to – how this game goes. So the problem is you're not going to be able to scheme against those guys, but you're going to allow them to kind of over-pursue and get to the outside. And both of the running backs in New England catch the ball very well out of the backfield.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's almost like a segue.
All day.
It's almost like a segue. But to me, because of the interior rush from L.A. and what it means to how McDaniels is going to have to approach his football game, I just decided while you're talking that the prop bet that I like the most is Deion Lewis. James White. I always get those
James White.
Is the James White catch over under? Catch total? I think James White reception total.
I think it's at 3.5.
I don't know. I think it was 5.5.
You
got to
take that over.
You
got to
take the over.
We'll
got to take the over because they're going to be double teaming Donald. And then what is Sue going to do? And Brady, that's the release valve that I was talking about.
Before
Gronkowski's not.
Before we hit on the props, though, let me ask you one question.
That James White over.
So
we like that.
Are you familiar with the term the middle eight?
No.
I heard this on Peter King. I'd never heard of it before, but it makes perfect sense. I don't know if you're familiar with Peter King. He is Monday Morning Quarterback for Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Great listen and great read in the magazine as well. Basically, the middle eight, and from what he was saying is that there's only one coach, really, that focuses on the middle eight in a game of football, and that's Bill Belichick. We'll see this Sunday if Sean McVay focuses on the middle eight. The last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half. And you'll notice that when you watch the Patriots play, their goal is to always,
they put
you away at the last 4 minutes of the first quarter because because they will try to score on you, and if they get the ball back second half to start, they will specifically try to score on you and then get the ball back and score on you again.
And then the goal is to have the ball last, right?
Yep.
That's
why they always defer. Have they never?
So,
we should look that up. We should research
they always
that.
Do defer, except
have
for
they ever not defer?
2 weeks ago, what was that first game in the playoffs? They had the first round bye, and then they played the Colts, right? Did they play the Colts? Or
I feel like they played somebody in New England.
Indy, because it should have been Houston if we beat the Colts.
San Diego. San Diego.
Okay, there we go. You're right. So there's Chargers,
so
okay? If you watch that game, go back and watch it. They win the toss and they accept. Okay.
Really?
So why?
Look at what they did. They hit them early and often. They were winning that first quarter by 21, and they didn't let off the gas at halftime.
So they just put them down quick.
They put them down quick. Exactly.
So they.
He knew what he wanted
so
to set
put,
the
they
tone
put the pressure
that game.
On.
Exactly.
And in theory. To extrapolate on your theory and Peter King's theory that you're talking about, you can still focus on the middle eight even if you're not getting the ball in the second half. Because you're a very big part of your middle eight focus can be on defense.
Has to be.
At the beginning of the second
it
half.
Has to be.
But it still
exactly.
can be on offense at the end of the first
but
half.
That's such
so, yeah.
a Bill Belichick psychological warfare.
It is, but when you think about it.
Do you think Bill Belichick, Belichick is aware of that phrase, the
he
middle
plays,
eight?
I bet
he
you it's his
for,
phrase. And he told Peter King, you know, well, they were – having, you know, coffee or something before
he
they went fishing on his yacht.
Rivers,
I don't know
fear
if he knows that phrase.
Oh, yeah, the middle eight. That's his,
holy shit.
That's his baby, man.
He's
or
I'm
going to
be tweeting at the Browns front
he's
office for the next 7 months.
Yeah, the middle eight.
I'm going to be tweeting at Freddie Kitchens, who doesn't even have a Twitter, and Baker
right.
Mayfield and everybody else.
So he's just
middle
playing the middle
eight. Hashtag middle eight every day.
Win the game.
Good morning, God bless, middle eight
in
at Baker Mayfield.
The middle eight
day.
Is literally like you win the game in the middle eight. That's how it works. It's pretty incredible. But yeah.
So.
Prop bets, betting.
Yeah,
wagering
prop bets.
I
want to say something real quick. I want to start a trend where we're no longer saying there's three phases to the game. Defense and special teams is the same fucking thing. And you know, they are one third of what it takes to win. Offense, if you don't score points, you don't win.
So we're gonna go through
in the NFL 2019
offense
is right.
We got about 10 minutes
right.
left before
That's
we wrap it up.
The rules.
Let's do it.
So we'll use this last.
How much time did you say?
About 10 minutes left before we
okay,
wrap
we're gonna talk about.
So we're gonna go through some props,
gambling and drugs,
legal
minus the drugs.
Sports,
get so giddy,
betting. Legal sports betting. So let's go over a few.
Well,
of
wait a minute, Drew. We don't live in a state where you can legally sports bet.
Federally. So
we
do.
Sorry for bumping mics.
We'll see here. The Patriots are currently sitting at -2.5. -2.5. I think when we left here last show, they were sitting at -2.
Yeah, I'm still betting Rams, even though I believe the Patriots are
going to win. I'm betting Rams as well. So
Rams
plus 2.5. The money lines kind of stayed. Actually, they moved a little bit. You can value on Rams plus 120 if you think they win the game.
I'd like to try to find a way to tease the Patriots.
I think
I like to find a way to tease the Patriots to plus five and then bet the Rams at plus 2.5. And I think I hit in that window. If I can find that teaser, but I hate over unders totals.
Yeah, so educated
people call them point totals.
If you find a basketball game or something, you can tease it with a basketball.
I always do, and I always lose.
Smart trend recently is to bet against Cleveland. So you can look
cool. That
one.
This was fun.
Bet against Cleveland.
I'm gonna have that shoe removed, and I'll have it cleaned up and sent back to you. let's talk about
a couple years ago. That was easy money. This year was about a sucker's bet.
So
you guys are both crook.
90. I actually sent this out to the group chat with everyone.
We're in a group text, by the way. I don't know if you've ever been with 10 guys at one time
in a chat. But
the three of us have in a text.
The coin toss. This is a very popular one right here. The coin toss. You might be like, well, what the fuck? Why would I bet on a coin toss? It's 50-50 odds, people. You're looking at 50-50. Black or white on roulette.
So
you know,
stupid.
50-50.
It's 50-50.
It's 50-50 as long as you bear in mind, fails never fails.
So
why don't we just
There's pretty high juice on it.
Draw high card.
15 cents. It's -115.
I got five.
Why don't I just draw high card? We should do high card.
That's the intro, right?
That's the intro.
The coin flip. Once you hit that one, who wins the coin flip, right?
Oh, so it's who's winning the coin flip.
No.
Can you parlay?
You can't parlay.
But it's
the coin flip, who wins it, and what they choose, a triple parlay.
So, yeah.
I'm going to take your action if you guys want to parlay that.
So the coin toss is one
all action.
The coin toss is its own wager.
Got it. Go on.
The next wager, an independent wager.
So wait, the coin toss is it heads or tails?
Right. Heads or tails is its own
wager. Who wins it, and then do they defer?
Who wins the winning team
defer would be the next bet. I'm more interested in the bets like -600 +600 that either announcer mentions the point spread. Did you know that was a bet?
Will there be an overtime?
I believe they're not allowed to or not supposed to, but it's like...
No. So, not all books offer all the props. You have to shop around, see...
Wait,
I heard about that prop.
That is a real prop.
But it's heavily weighted to believing that they're not going to mention the point spread.
It's against CBS's policy as a network to talk about gambling.
Okay.
So, you want to bet that they're not going to mention the point spread? It's -600.
Could it be an indirect mention, like what's his name?
That's a gray area where the casino's probably going
to. Yeah, so they leave that up to the book.
Hey,
that book
is money.
You know,
yeah.
So if there's all these, you know,
because you know that one basketball guy that
it can't be an innuendo in every single situation. They have to mention the number.
Right.
I'm thinking if they say 2.5 or whatever, but they're not going to do that. I heard of some other crazy. I know you're going to get into
those series. I don't want any action on that bet.
There's
way.
Crazy.
There's some good
bets.
Ones like that though. You got to shop around for that, right? There was one that's
shop
already.
Around.
There's
if
one
you're
that's
a real degenerate.
Yeah, there's
so
one.
You
got to
go to degenerate.
There's one that's off
wagers.
There's one that's off the board already, and it was it was a lock. Okay.
Ooh, I like a lock.
It's already off the board.
What was it?
Will Chick-fil-A be open inside the? Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
The answer is no.
The answer is no.
Put all your money in.
You literally take out a loan. Yeah, it's off the board already. No was like -1500.
I would have bet. I would have
everything.
My house.
Everything on it.
All right, so check. Here's one that I
heard.
So
what that means is you have to bet $1,500 to win $100.
Easy money.
Easy money. It's Chick-fil-A policy. They don't open on Sunday.
They
open
one time.
I've never heard of it.
They open one time on a Sunday. It was to prepare food for the victims and the emergency crews. And this was a sick PR move after that nightclub shooting. The gay nightclub shooting in Orlando. The adamantly
Christian
homophobic, never open on Sundays organization. The only time they ever opened on a Sunday was to serve food to the people dealing with the aftermath of the gay nightclub shooting in Orlando.
That's a strong PR move.
-1500, son.
All right, so
you know,
I heard
Super Bowl.
I heard a crazy prop bet, and I heard it both ways. Will Jared Goff have more passing yards in the single digits than Bryce Harper will get paid in the millions on whatever contract he's about to sign? And I might have it screwed up. They lined up a quarterback with a free agent. One quarterback was with Manny Machado, and the other one was lined up with Bryce Harper.
I saw one. It was
that's
what?
Crazy, weird. Why? You got to be a real fucking.
So what's lower? No, what's lower?
I got to be a fucking.
The number of touchdowns scored, or the winning horse in the Kentucky Derby.
So you either got to be a degenerate or like a serious fucking nerd that's like running spreadsheets.
Yeah, exactly.
And analytics.
Or both. You know, I mean, so.
Probably both.
Lower is
going to
be the horse.
That's
the
true.
Horse is going to be lower?
The horse is going
to
be lower.
The horse's number? What do horse numbers normally go up to?
Well, 1 through 10 or 12. Or
okay, no,
many?
I thought they also wore numbers that could be.
Oh, maybe a 0
like
one?
A football player's number, right?
No.
Can a horse be like number 76?
Perhaps.
I don't know.
Don't quote
me on this.
Maybe I'm thinking of the lane, right? Like which lane they put him in. Versus
and you're saying the total score versus.
It's either total score or touchdown scored. Because you know touchdowns.
I think horses are numbered in a variety of ways,
three,
like
or,
up
you know,
to 100. But let me check this.
No,
yeah,
number
so
four horses in the fourth lane.
Yeah, exactly. No,
it's your starting gate.
I'm less
but
of a
they wear
there, so.
They wear a you
an
know
apron,
an apron that has the number. So is the number the lane number, or
yeah,
is that
or is it just some
okay.
other number?
Then the, you know, it only goes up to 12 or 13. Then there is no number.
No,
seven.
I think the Kentucky Derby has like 15, 25 horses. That's great.
Hold
like
on, hold
big
on.
Ass fucking.
I think horse number 85 has something to say about this. I just made that up.
Horse 69.
Did y'all hear about Gronkowski?
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh,
we first of all, that dude is a fucking epic
his
legend
number?
Dude, bro.
No, but how he brought him to a press conference
yeah.
for not the first time.
I bet she knows. Ask her.
Hey, Rob, so for anybody that missed this, Rob Gronkowski was asked at the press conference after Tom Brady was asked what the likelihood is, percentage-wise, whether that he'll retire after this game. Brady said zero, and then Gronkowski was asked, what is the percentage chance that you'll retire after this season? And what did he say?
He said, why don't you... No,
he isolated the most attractive reporter.
He looked to find the hottest reporter in the room and says, why don't you ask her? She knows.
She knows.
She knows what number I'm thinking
and
of.
And he's like, come on, you know. Just say
know
it. You know what it is.
You know
there's a six in it.
His
got
laugh.
A nine.
Yeah.
You know.
His
so there
laugh.
Are people signing.
He went on, he went longer. He said...
there's a petition.
If you multiply 6 by 9 and then add 6 plus 9.
No, 6 plus 3 or whatever it was. I'm surprised. His IQ is about 70, so I'm surprised that he could come up with a complex equation.
I think that he got
it. I bet
it
was super simple. Like
6 times 9 is 54, yeah?
If you
6 plus 9 is 15. 54 plus 15 is...
God, somebody must have helped him with that because he's an idiot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, he's
you
a real...
Multiply
6 times 9
he's a
total...
Yeah,
no, dude, that's like...
Someone wrote that. I wouldn't be surprised.
His brother.
I didn't see the press conference. I bet he was like, hey, it's a math. If you do 6 times 9, then you do. He's because he's an idiot.
Eli was
but,
next to him, the coach.
But there's a petition
what's
that's going around.
What's 6 times 9, coach?
They learned it on the party cruise.
There's a petition that's going around trying to get them to not
to suspend him,
to play
him for the game
in the Super Bowl because
there's
of
a
that.
Hashtag Me Too.
And now here's something else.
Around.
Here's something else that keeps coming up on the radio station I listen to. I listen to 92.3 and the Fan in Cleveland. If for some reason a radio station is looking to sponsor a mediocre and below podcast,
well, it would be a mediocre guys, radio station out of Cleveland for sure.
It would have to be.
You're not doing us any favors right now. But in his defense, he's a total piece of shit. So listen.
Garbage.
One of the things. One of the things that gets
garbage.
They do these drops on CBS Sports Radio, which are Boomer Esiason coming in and giving his minute.
Yeah, yeah.
And
CBS
Jim Rome, who I think is just so awful, but his sports take. They play
so
the same.
So does Chris Everett.
They.
I bet you won't
call
say that
me
again.
Chris one more time.
I bet you won't say it again.
That's so awful. So
that was great.
But normally, every day, Jim
and
Rome's take.
About horses.
Every day, all these guys record a different sports minute. And Rome's, which you can tell if you listen closely, was recorded on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. They played the identical one 2 days in a row. And I think it's fascinating. And this maybe we can wrap it up on this. This is not about prop bets or anything. Rob Gronkowski is now increasingly likely to retire after this Super Bowl. And do you know why that is? Does anybody out there know why that is? Tweet at us if you do. Rob Gronkowski is now running with Mark Wahlberg and his inner circle. And Mark Wahlberg believes that Rob Gronkowski doesn't just possess the potential to be, but is going to be the next big mega action star in Hollywood filmmaking.
And that's The Rock.
And he went on to say, Mark Wahlberg was very specific about this. He went on to say that, you know, it used to be Schwarzenegger and Stallone, and they passed the torch to The Rock and John Cena, and now those
Harvey
guys...
Harvey Weinstein is going to pass his cock over to fucking Rob Gronkowski, and they're just going to fucking circle jerk each other.
Probably, has already happened, but Mark Wahlberg firmly believes that Rob Gronkowski is going to be your next Ronda Rousey.
Book it. You heard it here first.
Take two. He's going to be your next mega action star. Man, her film career really took off.
If you put him in semi-pro 2, I'd go see it.
Okay. I'd have to see the trailer
first. Dude, he's
first,
a total look. Rob Gronkowski is the same low IQ knucklehead. Come and find me, Rob. I'll be here.
I'll be right here.
He's the same low
IQ
knucklehead that John Cena is, except he's not endearing. And John Cena is very endearing. Have y'all seen that movie, Blockers?
One of my favorites.
John Cena is so, like, innocent.
You haven't seen that one? Oh,
dude, how good is John Cena at playing, like, an innocent, like, caring...
He's great in Daddy's Home too.
Dude, in Blockers, he's so sensitive and, like, believably... Like, you rooting for
was
this
that,
guy as
great.
A big
Wasn't
softie.
It great?
He's awesome, dude. Rob Gronkowski's not going to be that. He's going to be a giant
yeah.
man. Like, have you heard his Slim Jim commercial? When the little voice of my stomach gets hungry, I'll
Did
Rob
you see
Gronkowski.
The whole family on
Slim Jim.
Family
Jim. He's so
Did you see
dumb,
the, all
dude.
The brothers?
No, but he's so, like...
I'm sure that would
Speaking
be
of a
though.
Circle jerk. God.
Hey, let me just say this. To try to save myself... Rob Gronkowski may not be totally dumb, but he is not smart. All right?
But
like,
what if it's
no...
an elaborate show and like he's got you right where you want you?
He's a total meathead.
Totally. He probably is. I think he's an
he's
epic
funny,
dude
but
bro.
It's annoying. It's not endearing.
He's an epic dude, bro.
So
he is an cool. epic dude, bro. What
yeah.
they were saying
yeah,
though, from that news conference. The you know 69 news conference
I
okay
think I drink beer,
is that
I'm sorry dude that
like
didn't
his
so much fucking fun.
His act that he puts on
I would want to get away from
there. His act is
so much fun
has run its course and it's not an act anymore, you know, like they're it's run its course,
so
tired of it,
so will
I can see that
it's like
yeah,
a
I can see that
I'm not trying to take over control here
no
but maybe will Rob Gronkowski be the next mega action
what
star
are the
Hollywood.
Odds here put the odds on it yes is
I gotta tell you something right now remove Rob Gronkowski's ability to be that I mean Mark Wahlberg is both incredibly successful and fucking powerful as shit
he's
dude
powerful.
So his backing and Gronkowski's tapped into like Wahlberg's
he,
love for Boston and just
put,
all of that
he's put
if you Gronk think it's not gonna happen It's definitely going to happen.
Wahlberg's put
Gronk I think it's
on
gonna happen.
Entourage,
yeah, totally.
And he's put him on Ballers.
In my rational, intellectual mind, not a fucking chance in hell that Rob Gronkowski is the next big action star, and I'm pushing my stack that he's going to be at the same time. Does that make sense?
I don't know, man.
It's going to happen, dude.
Chris Pratt.
You don't want it to. We don't want it
Chris
to.
Chris Pratt's not.
It's going to happen.
Chris Pratt's not.
He's
endearing.
He's not a Rob Gronkowski.
He's not a Rob Gronkowski.
He's way too, what is that? He's,
no, but I think he's probably one of the bigger action stars.
Oh, totally.
Him.
No. I mean,
but he is,
he's
never been,
star.
Before he was a big action star, he wasn't a Jagerbomb dude, bro.
No.
He was
no.
that endearing,
Catch
lovable idiot.
Tom Brady.
He was that lovable idiot on Parks and Recreation. That's where he originated. Oh, how do you not love, who doesn't love that guy?
Who
doesn't root for that guy and love
that
guy? People have not rooted for Rob Gronkowski and his meathead antics, so it's crazy.
That's
but right. Mark Wahlberg is probably going to make that shit happen.
If they invited me on
crazy.
The cruise, I would have went.
Yeah, good.
Rob,
enjoy it.
If you want to drink beers, I'll drink beers with you.
I'm drinking, but I get
entertainment
it.
Value.
Are you not entertained?
Come on.
All right. So, I'm sorry to
so
introduce
So let us end on that. Let us end on that.
Are you
not entertained by our podcast? I mean, who the fuck would not be entertained by this shit? I have no.
Look, y'all, we were.
Is this not what you came here to see?
We were all on face. Yeah.
Is that not what you're here?
Sound more like Joaquin Phoenix.
Next week we have the results of the Super Bowl.
Results are in.
We have the NBA, man. We have the
full swing.
The All-Star game
coming up.
We have the trade deadline.
Seventh.
And we have the playoff stretch run, right?
We teased some real evil shit that I think is eating the NBA from inside out that we're going to talk about next week.
And honestly,
tune back in for that.
It has legs, man. It has legs.
Man. And it's growing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has legs and it's growing. So be
one has legs and is growing and yet is not alive.
The story.
All right, so once again, y'all. So this week's edition of the weekly game, where we don't really know what we're talking about, but we'll talk about it.
The unwise guys.
The unwise guys.
Just think, let that one marinate.